If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 13. We'll continue our series in stories that changed the world. There's 11 parables in the book of Luke that are not found in any of the other gospels, and they teach us about the kingdom of God. A parable is an earthly story with a kingdom meaning. Say that with me. An earthly story with a kingdom meaning. Let's try that again. An earthly story with a kingdom meaning. That's all a parable is, and Jesus mainly taught in stories. Jesus mainly taught in parables. He was teaching so that not the religious scholars would understand. He was teaching that the whole world might understand the kingdom of God. He wanted everyone to grasp what the kingdom was, and in Luke, he records, this doctor who is one of his disciples, he also wrote the book of Acts, he records these 11 stories that we find nowhere else in Scripture, and they're important to us. They teach us about the kingdom of God, and we're in the fourth week now, and we'll end this series at the end of September, and we start in Luke chapter 13, verse 1. It says, there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So here's Jesus teaching, and people are coming to him, and he can tell that there's maybe some grumblings about these tragedies that had happened. Now, we've had some tragedies happen in our lifetime, specifically recently. If we go back to 1994, Israeli guards run into a mosque and kill Palestinian men and murder them as they're praying. If we go to 2015, a white man walks into a Charleston black church and opens fire and kills 9 people as they were praying. We've seen tragedies happen in places of worship. In 2000, when I was in college in Fort Worth, Texas, a man walks into a rally of youth, opens fire and kills people, one that I personally knew. We've seen it happen before where places of worship have happened, and Jesus is hearing them talk about these Galileans who blood Pilate. Now, remember, the same Pilate who washed his hands clean of Jesus said, I find no guilt in this man, but this very man, Pilate, who apparently ordered the death of these Galileans, who says who mingled their blood with the sacrifices. What that tells us is that these Galileans were worshiping in the synagogue, and their blood was mingled with the blood of sacrifices. In other words, they were there worshiping God. And while they were worshiping God, they were murdered. Their blood was mixed in at the synagogue with the sacrifices. We've had tragedies like this before, have we not? Just recently. And they're motivated by hate. We don't know why Pilate killed these. Jesus doesn't go into it. But there was a grumbling amongst the people that the reason these Galileans were murdered the way they were is because they were sinners. This way of thinking wasn't that uncommon. The next point he brings up to them, he says, do you think that these Galileans are worse sinners than the others? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or how about those 18 and on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think they were worse offenders? What about when 2 planes fall into the World Trade Center and fly into them and bring the towers down, killing thousands of people? What about when a man takes a bomb in Oklahoma City and bombs the federal building, killing thousands of people? What about when tragedies strike and earthquakes and tsunamis and all these things? He's saying, are these people that died because of these tragedies, are they worse offenders than the others? And he says, no. I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This way of thinking wasn't that uncommon. Think about Job. When Job was struck by Satan and was taken away his family, his livestock, all his riches, what did his friends tell him to do? What did his wife tell him to do? You must be a sinner. You need to get an ash cloth in the ash and cover yourself and repent of your sin. And then his wife finally told him, just curse God and die because you obviously have offended the most holy God. And Jesus is saying, let's not deal with these tragedies that you were trying to deal with. You're trying to figure out if these people were worse sinners than you. But let me tell you something. There's one thing that's for certain. All of us are going to die. He says, all of us are going to die. Are they worse sinners because the tower fell on them? They were sinners because Pilate had murdered them in a church? No, that's not why they died. All of us are going to die. But let me bring it back to you personally. I call you to repent. So Jesus takes this abstract question that people are asking and that we often ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Why are there tragedies in this world? We want to know the answers to these questions. And although I think the Bible speaks to those at certain times, Jesus was hearing the grumblings of this and he was bringing it back to the most important thing that yes, I can answer those questions, and it has to do with the fallen, sinful world. It has to do with the fact that this world is not being, tormented by sin. But let me tell you what I'm going to bring it back to. It doesn't matter how you die. What matters is that you are going to die, and before you die, I have a message for you about my kingdom. Repent. I have a message for you about my kingdom. It's time to repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand, is what John the Baptist told us. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus is here. The kingdom is here. So I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In other words, there's not one more person that deserves death more than we do. Don't think of yourself as better than anybody else on this earth. There's not one person that deserves death more than you. You may think that's true, but all of us are sinners. All of us have been separated by the blood of God, by the presence of God, and his blood is what's brought us near. So he tells us to repent and to strengthen what he's saying to them about repenting, about what it means to personally repent. He tells them a parable. And what's a parable again? Earthly story with the kingdom meaning. That's right. That's a parable. I said that one more time. I want you to memorize this. A parable is an earthly story with a kingdom meaning. And here's the kingdom of God right here. He tells them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. And then if it should bear fruit next year, we'll all be good. But if not, you can then cut it down." And here's Jesus telling them a parable. Let's read it again one more time so you get what he is saying. He said, then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on the fig tree, and I haven't found any, so cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I promise that I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then what? Cut it down." Now, I got to be honest with you. When I saw that this was the parable this week, I realized that this isn't a very fun message to preach to people. Talking about bearing fruit, and if it ain't bearing fruit, to cut it down. There's other passages where it says it's not bearing fruit to cut it off and throw it in the fire and let it burn. That doesn't sound like a very popular message. Doesn't sound like I'd be smiling too much when I preach this message. Doesn't sound like something you may want to hear, but let me tell you, there's good news found in this. There's some really, really good news, because the kingdom of God comes bringing good news. And let me tell you the good news we see in this. Let's look at this story. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. So a man's growing a fig tree. Now, I got to be honest with you. What I know about figs is Fig Newtons. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That's all I really know about figs is Fig Newtons. That's all I ever ate that had to do with fig in it. But fig is actually a fruit. It grows on a tree. I've had it on an airplane before when I was flying to the Middle East, and I didn't like it the way it was cooked. So I don't really like fig, but it's a very popular tree. You see often Jesus talking about the fig tree. You see him talking a lot about what is taking place with figs. And here we see this fig tree is growing. And he went to look for the fruit, the figs that should be growing on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of this fig, he said, "Why isn't this thing growing any fruit? If it's not growing fruit, let's just cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" So what it's teaching us is there's nothing wrong with the soil. He's going to a certain tree. The tree isn't bearing fruit. It's not the soil's fault. He's saying the soil is good. He's saying this fruit is bad. This tree is bad. It's not the soil's fault. It's the tree. The tree is a bad fruit, because listen, good trees produce what? Good fruit. Bad trees produce what? Bad fruit. If you want an orange tree, what kind of tree do you plant? Orange. If you want apples, what kind of tree do you plant? An apple tree. It's about the fruit that produces. You don't plant a fig tree and hope you get oranges next spring. You don't plant an apple tree and hope that you get grapes. It ain't going to happen. You're going to produce what kind of tree it is. And what he's saying, this tree is bad. That's why it's not producing any fruit. He said, but let me give it one more chance. Let me give it one more year. I'm going to fertilize the soil again. I'm going to put manure, if you will, the fertilizer around it, that it might strengthen this tree. See if it has one last chance, which shows us the heart of our Father. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God desires that all shall be saved, that all shall come to repentance, that he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want any tree to be thrown away. He doesn't want any tree to be cut down, but he desires that all might be saved. Because you see, the problem isn't the soil. The problem is the tree. And we don't like to deal with that. We want to blame everybody else about our lack of being made alive with Christ or our lack of bearing fruit. But the problem isn't the soil. The problem is the tree. Jesus is saying to us in this message that the tree is not bearing figs because the tree is dead. It cannot bear figs because the tree isn't alive. The tree is dead. The soil around it is fine. The other trees in this garden are growing fruit, but he comes to this one. It's this one tree. It's not like this is the only tree he has. This is a whole vineyard, if you will, a whole garden of trees, a whole section of trees, and the soil is fine for all the other trees, but he's come to this one tree, and it's not bearing any fruit, and he says, cut it down. But then he says, but let's give it one more year. The vine, the person in charge land wants to cut it down, but the person who keeps it says, let me give it one more year. Let me fertilize it again. Let's see if it will bear fruit. It shows the Father's heart that he wants to cut no trees down. And then what does the text say? He says, fine, give it one more year. But if it doesn't bear fruit, then let's cut it down. Because why should it use up the soil? The soil is good. This tree is taking up space. It's useless to me if it's not bearing fruit. What good is a fig tree if it has no figs? What good is an apple tree if it has no apples? What good is an orange if it has a tree if it has no oranges? What good is a vineyard full of grapes if it's not producing any grapes? If it's not producing fruit, then the tree is no longer useful to the person that's trying to grow the tree. Therefore, they will cut it down. Now, my grandfather was a farmer in his later years. He retired as a car salesman, bought a farm in Oklahoma where my grandmother was from, and decided he wanted to live off his little farm. So he started planting everything. What that meant for me as a grandchild is that he wanted me to help him do all that. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. How many of you guys got grandparents? They want you to take on all their little projects that they do when they get retired and get bored, and then you're stuck doing it all every time you go visit them, every summer, every spring break. Every time you go visit them, they got something for you to do. So he planted apple trees one year. Now, my wife has this great novel idea of going to Michigan in the fall and picking apples off a tree and putting them in a little bucket and bringing them home. It just sounds so romantic to her. Let me tell you about someone who grew up having to pick apples off a tree in the hot summer. It ain't that romantic. It ain't romantic to get up on that ladder, up on a tree with a bucket and pick apples all day long on your break when you're going to visit your grandparents and you just want to go play. Let me tell you, it ain't that romantic of an idea if you're doing it all day. If you're going to go up the ladder and pick a couple apples and go home, that sounds great. But if you're working it, it's not good. And I would go up the ladder, and my job was to look at the trees to see where the apples were the ripest. When it was time to ripe, I'd take them, and I would put them in a bucket. And you're carrying this bucket on this ladder. And depending on how big you are or small you are, how many you can pick at a time, because that bucket gets too heavy, you don't want to fall off the ladder. You got to go back down. So you're constantly going up and down the ladder, moving all around the stream to get the apples. And if you find an apple that's been eaten by worms or this one branch didn't produce the fruit the way it was supposed to, you cut the branch down. You had to take care of the bad fruit that was on this tree because the whole tree wasn't bad. It was good. It was producing fruit, but sometimes this fruit-producing tree would also produce some bad fruit that was there. And so I would take the bad fruit, and you had to put that in a separate bucket, and you had to mark the branch, and you would eventually get a tree cutter, and you'd cut it down, and you would get rid of that tree as a way of called pruning, if you will. You had to prune the tree because the tree itself was still good. Just a couple of branches were bad, and you wanted the tree to grow fruit on that branch eventually, so you had to cut it off. And then we get these buckets of apples, and we clean them and wash them. We would enjoy the fruit. Now, if we ever came to a tree, which never happened, but I'm sure if we came to a tree and it wasn't producing anything, then my grandfather would be like, this tree's taking up space in my orchard. It's taking space up here. Let's just cut it down. He'd take his chainsaw and cut it down. We cut down a tree that was dead in his front yard before. I was too little, so I didn't get to help. I remember thinking how cool it was. Remember thinking how awesome it was that we cut down this tree and watching it fall all the way down and crashing. We cut that down because why? It wasn't alive. It was dead. It was taking up space. It was using up the soil. There's a difference between a tree that's producing fruit but also has bad fruit on the tree than a tree that's also just completely bad. And it's why we need to look at the rest of the Bible to see what Jesus is really teaching us about this story, because if not, we're going to become a bunch of lumberjacks. And no, not the hipster lumberjacks, like a real lumberjack, one that actually cuts things down, that actually uses an axe. Paul Bunyan, Because we want to say, then how I produce fruit is me, and I'm going to look at you, and you're not producing fruit, so I'm going to take my axe, and it's time to cut you down. If we're not careful, we'll interpret this parable this way, that we actually can produce fruit on our own. Because Jesus is saying, if you don't produce fruit, let's cut the tree down, and none of us want to be cut down, so we better start producing fruit. But it doesn't work that way. We cannot produce fruit on our own. We're just needing to see the rest of Scripture and how Jesus, especially in John chapter 15, as we're about to turn there, go ahead and turn there if you want to. We're going to look at what Jesus taught about this parable because it fits in with what he's talking about today. So how do we grow fruit? This is what we really want to talk about today. This is the parable. The parable of the kingdom is, the story of the kingdom is that we will repent and bear fruit. The first thing we do to grow fruit is we must repent. John chapter 15, turn with me there if you want to. I don't have it on the screen, so don't worry about it. Just listen if you don't have your Bible today. John chapter 15, he says this. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So how do we bear fruit? We abide in Christ. We remain in him. We don't remain in God if we first don't repent, which is why he's bringing a full circle back to what they were asking about. If you want to know how to bear fruit, if you want to know how to be who God created you to be, you must repent. All that word means is if you're going this way towards the kingdom of darkness, towards the ways of this world, you turn around and you turn towards God. The first step is to repent. You turn away from your sin. You turn towards God, and then you don't just turn one time. It's as you abide, you remain. You remain turned towards God. You remain in him. Why? Because he's the tree. You see, this tree is about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God produces kingdom fruit. We are dead in our transgressions and sins. We have no ability on our own to produce any fruit. The fruit that we do produce, because we are a dead tree, is we produce the things of this world. We produce those things that aren't of the kingdom of God because this world is not of the kingdom of God. This world is a fallen, sinful world. So when we're dead in our transgressions and sins, when we're living in this world, when we're operating as this dead tree, what we're producing as this dead tree is the things of this world. You see, what we really need is tree replacement surgery. What we really need is for God to come and replace the tree that we are dead in, and he becomes the tree for us, and we become the branches. You see, when we don't remain in God, that's us trying to be the tree. It's us being the vine. He says, I'm the vine, and what are you? You're the branches. When we try to be the tree and we're producing our own fruit, what we're producing is the things of this world. When we let God replace it and he becomes the tree, he becomes the foundation, we become the branches, and we remain in him, we produce the fruit of the kingdom of God. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need tree replacement surgery. We need to abide in Christ. We repent and we turn away and we let God replace our dead self with his life, with his life that was resurrected, with his life that produces fruit. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. So how do we bear fruit? By remaining in God. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If you do not remain in me, if you do not remain in me, if you do not abide in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Why? Because you show yourselves to be my disciples. You show yourselves to be my followers. It's to the glory of God, and Jesus replaces himself with ourselves with him. He gives us he takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. We are a sinful tree. Jesus becomes an oak of righteousness, and we become his branches, and we bear fruit of the kingdom of God. Why? That we might get the glory. Know that the Father might get the glory, that the world might see the kingdom of God in us. The world might see that we're his followers. If people were to look at your life, would they know you belong to Jesus? If people were to look at how you live your life, would they think that person follows Jesus? Are you producing fruit that looks like the kingdom of God? Or are you producing fruit that continues to look like everything else? You see, it's not the soil's fault. We want to blame the soil. Well, it's just been a bad season. No, it's not the soil's fault. Are you a tree that's been replaced? Are you still a tree that's in the kingdom of darkness? Are you striving to be your own God, striving to be your own tree to produce your own fruit? All you're producing is the things of this world. Because remember, an orange tree can't produce apples. A dead tree can't produce the things of the kingdom of God. We must be made alive with Christ. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. If we think bearing fruit has to do with us, it has nothing to do with us. It means to repent and to abide. The second thing it means for us is to walk. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. If you want to bear fruit, first you repent, you turn, you remain in God. The second thing is you must walk. You see, it's not passive. You just don't rest in God. Yes, he gives you rest, but he calls you also to walk, to move, to walk, he says, in the Spirit. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He says in chapter 5, starting in verse 13, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use this freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." What's the fruit of the kingdom? Love. Loving God and loving people. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say this: walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. In other words, the Spirit produces kingdom fruit, the flesh produces this world's fruit, and they are in contradiction with one another. They are colliding with one another. And when you walk in the Spirit, you do not produce the things of this world, you produce the things of the kingdom of God. When you walk in your flesh, when you're trying to be the tree, when you're trying to bear your own fruit, you're producing the things of this world. He said the acts of the flesh are obvious. The fruits of the flesh, if you want to say it with this parable, the fruits of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're not of the kingdom. Now, if you can't find one thing that you're producing on this list, then I would tell you, just add lying to that list, and there you go. All of us have idols we've raised up in the place of Jesus, whether it's the idol of pride, the idol of selfishness. We've all had envy for other people. You see something, you got to have it, you got to want it. Maybe we've had too much to drink. You have an addiction to alcohol or drugs, or maybe sexual immorality or impurity. There's all sorts of things: jealousy, discord, factions, not loving your neighbor the way you should love, having racist thoughts towards people. There's all sorts of things on here. These are the fruits of the world, the fruits of our fallen, sinful world that we as trees will produce if we're not getting replaced by the blood of Christ. He said, but, and this is the good news, the fruit of the Spirit is this: it's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Let us walk in the Spirit. The first thing we must do to bear fruit is we must turn away from our sin and repent and abide in Christ and let him replace us, that he becomes the tree, we become the branches. The second thing to produce fruit is we must walk in the Spirit. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we don't produce the things of this world, we produce the things of the kingdom of God. When we produce the things of the kingdom of God, the world looks and sees that God is good, and they want to taste that fruit for themselves, it says, and see that God is good. They want to taste and see for themselves that God is good. The third thing we must do to bear fruit is to be pruned. Everyone say prune. Not prune juice, not prune the fruit, but we must go through a pruning process. This is our least favorite thing. God says he disciplines those who are his children in the book of Hebrews. We don't like discipline. We don't like to be corrected. I like to think I'm always right. Amen. Anyone else out there like me? You like to think you're always right? How many you like to be told you're wrong? Anybody out there? Didn't think so. I heard silence and crickets. That's all I heard. No one likes to be told that you're wrong, but guess what? Jesus tells you you're wrong. Jesus tells us he contradicts us sometimes when we're walking in our flesh and we're not walking in the Spirit. He prunes us. He disciplines those of us who are his children, which is a good thing, because if you're not receiving discipline, it says that means you must not be his child. Because let me tell you something, if I disobey my father, he's going to put me on punishment. But if my friend that came over disobeyed my father, he sometimes doesn't get that punishment. Why? Because it ain't his child. But God says he disciplines those who he loves. We know that we belong to him because he's a father, and the father disciplines in love. He prunes. What does pruning mean? Let's look at John chapter 15 again. This brings the whole thing full circle about the parable. Starting in verse 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my father is the gardener. I am the true vine. So Jesus is saying, I'm the only tree. I'm the only tree that matters in the garden, the only way to produce the kingdom of God, fruit. I'm the only way to produce the fruit of the kingdom is by me, the true vine. You cannot produce it on your own. It's only by my grace that you have been saved through faith. You cannot work enough to produce the kingdom of God. You cannot be spiritual enough to produce the kingdom of God. You cannot go to church enough, sing songs enough, do Bible studies enough. The only way you produce the kingdom of God is through Jesus. It's to be in the true vine of Jesus Christ. And he says, my Father is the gardener. He is the one that's saying, let's give it one more year because I want this tree to be become my child. I'm going to fertilize it again. My heart is that they all be saved. So let me give it one more chance. Let's give it one more year and see if it will produce the kingdom of God fruit that they might become and repent and become a part of this vine, the true vine of Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, he tells us what he's going to do with us. He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. You see, just because Jesus replaced our tree and he became the vine and we became the branches doesn't mean we don't produce bad fruit still, amen? We still walk in our flesh sometimes and we're producing stuff that looks like this world. And Jesus is saying that does not belong in the kingdom of God. So let me come along beside you and let me just cut that branch off. He does what my grandfather told me to do when I climbed that apple tree. If I saw a whole branch that produced bad apples, it was time to cut that branch off. And the point wasn't to cut the branch off because that tree was bad. The point was is the tree was good. The tree was producing good things, but that one branch was producing some bad stuff. And if I cut it down, it means that it has a chance to start producing good fruit once again. Because look what he says. He says, he branched me that bears no fruit. He cuts it off while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. He prunes so that we might be more fruitful. He cuts off those branches that bear no fruit to give it a chance to bear fruit again. Those branches that do bear fruit, he cuts off the little bitty bad apples that are on that tree that they might produce good ones once again. You see, Jesus is the vine. We are just the branches. And we produce the kingdom of God when we're connected to Christ. We produce this world when we're connected to the world and we're dead. And Jesus says, just because you follow me, I am good. I am the only thing that is good. It's the God who is in heaven is good, and he will produce good fruit. You just remain in me. And when we don't walk in the flesh and we don't walk in the spirit, we walk in the flesh, we produce bad fruit. And Jesus says, I will come and I will prune. And you then are already clean because the word I have spoken to you, not because you are good, but because I am good. And I gave you my goodness. I gave you my righteousness. So what is this story really saying? What is the parable, the kingdom meaning of this story? Here it is. You need Jesus. That's why it's the good news. This story isn't necessarily bad news for those who have repented, but it's a wake-up call to those who haven't. You see, he was talking not just to disciples, but the whole people of Israel. And he was saying to all the people of Israel, all the people that were God's chosen people at that point in time, he's saying to all of them, you better repent. It doesn't matter that these people died in a tragedy. They weren't worse sinners than you because we all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And we all are going to die at some point. The point is you better repent. And how do we know if we've repented? We produce fruit. Jesus says you'll know my disciples by their what? Their fruit. By how they love one another. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, joy. Those are the things we should produce. Why? Because the world desperately needs to see it. The world desperately needs to see the kingdom of God on display. It's seen enough of Scott Venable. It's seen enough of this world. It's seen enough sin in this world. It's seen enough tragedy. It's seen enough racism. It's seen enough people killing people. It's seen enough things happen in the streets. Too many lives have been taken. Too many people have died in the name of the fruit of this world that produces conflict and racism and violence. There's no peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valleys of this world, I will fear this. I will fear no evil in this world. I'll feel nothing. Why? Because God is with me. Because the fruit of the Spirit is inside of me is producing fruit. The Spirit is inside of me producing peace. So even though I walk through this world, I have peace. I have peace that even if my life is taken from me in a tsunami or a tornado or when I'm traveling to the Middle East or wherever I go, that I will be with God. I have a peace in my soul. I have a peace in my heart. I have a peace in my mind. Because the Spirit is inside of me, he's allowed me to love people boldly. Even when I don't want to love people. Because some of you ain't so easy to love. You may think you are, but let me tell you something. Some of us ain't so easy to love, are we? My wife knows I'm not. She ain't here to say amen, but she's saying amen up there with the babies. I know she heard it. We ain't so easy to love sometimes. We might think we're God's gift to all human creation, but we ain't. We're prideful, we're selfish, we're conceited, we're cocky, we're arrogant. We're jealous, we're envious, we're all the things of this world. Why? Because we are sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. He gave us a new tree. He became the tree. And he says, don't worry about producing fruit on your own because you can't do it anyways. Just connect to me. Repent and turn. I become the tree. You become the branches, and you will bear fruit. The kingdom of God will be on display in Chicago, a city that's marred by violence, that's marred by segregation. We're the number one segregated city in the United States. Where black people and white people and Latino people and Asian people and all sorts of people from across the world, we all live in this city, but we don't have to do anything with one another if we don't want to, because we live segregated lives. We live segregated neighborhoods and segregated places. But look at the beauty of Christ, that we can come together as one body, as one people. The kingdom of God is on display. That's why we must bear fruit. We remain in God, abide in him. We produce the kingdom of God fruit. People need to see the kingdom of God. They need to see that there's hope at the end of the tunnel. They need to see that there's a light that shines in the darkness that can take them out of their sin and give them the fruit of God, the fruit of this life, the eternal life that comes from God and God alone. So we must produce fruit. So how do we do that today? We repent, we walk, and we let God start pruning us. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, let us ask God now to speak to us. Jesus says we'll be known by our fruit. The world desperately needs to see Jesus. The world desperately needs to see Jesus. So ask God, where is your life not producing any fruit? Ask yourself this question. Have you ever been made alive with Christ? Or are you just a tree that's trying to produce your own fruit? Just ask God to reveal that to you right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you wherever you're at. Do you need to be pruned today? There's some bad fruit in your life you want God to take care of? Because listen, that's every day for me. I'm just going to be honest with you. I walk on the flesh multiple times. I got to ask God to take care of that, get rid of that bad fruit in my life. Because I want people to see Jesus. I want people to see that I love with the love of Jesus. To a fault that I want to love people so much that they know that Jesus loves them. I want people to see the kingdom of God on display, that there's hope for this world, that the kingdom of God brings hope. And they can't see that if all they're seeing is the fruit of this world, because they already see that. That is their life. They're surrounded by it. They need to see something different. They need to see the good news of the kingdom of God, that there's fruit, that the kingdom of God is alive, that it comes in power. So ask God now to come in power in your life. Father God, we come to you now, and we ask that you would speak to us and call us wherever you want us to go, to be whoever you want us to be, and that we go with you, because only you, Holy Spirit, can lead and guide us. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you come now. Come in power and lead us. Pray us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me today? As we stand, we're going to close out with a song and a time of reflection on the message that God gave us. I have with me a stick. My nephews were visiting in town this week, and we were walking, and all they wanted to do was pick up sticks. You know how kids like sticks, especially little boys, and of course they wanted to hit each other with them and stuff, and I had to take them from them, but they're all on my back porch now, all these sticks. Now this stick happens to be dead. Can you tell? It's pretty bare, and the reason I was on the ground in the first place is because it was dead. Now, when I go places around the world, I'll often take pictures of the nature that's there, whether it's in Africa or the Middle East or South America, wherever I go. But let me tell you what I've never taken a picture of. I've never once taken a picture of a stick. I've never once gone around the world to Africa and looked at the beauty of God's creation and said, look at that dead stick. Let me take a picture of that dead stick. I can't wait to go home and show everyone in America this dead stick. Or I don't go see all the beautiful olive trees in Palestine and Israel and say, let me take a picture of that dead stick that's on the ground instead of the great olive tree that's producing all these beautiful olives. You see, the world, they see enough of this already. This is us apart from Christ. This is us walking in the flesh. This is us and what we produce. The world already sees enough of this. They are already dead in their transgressions and sins, just like we once were. But we now have Christ who says, forget this, cut this off. Just get rid of it. Let me prune you. Let me cut it off. Remain in me. Repent. Turn away from this world. Turn away from your sin and remain in me. And you will produce fruit. And people will look at that fruit and think how beautiful God is. Think about how beautiful and big the kingdom of God is and they'll want to be a part of it. Listen, the city of Chicago, people aren't going to come here just because we have this awesome band and because I'm preaching. They're going to come because they see the kingdom of God on display. They're going to come because they see the Spirit of God moving. They're going to become because they see the fruit of the church of God helping to end violence and racism in our city. They're going to see the fruit that comes. And that's why they're going to want to be a part of the kingdom of God. So we must walk in the Spirit. We must produce fruit. Let's remain in God. Let's not be dead sticks. Let's let God cut these sticks off because the world sees enough of that. Let's let them see the fruit of the kingdom of God. Let's turn to God now. Let's walk in His Spirit. Let's let Him prune us. Whatever God's wanting to do with you right now, if you need prayer, I'll be over here to the side. If you want to use these prayer rugs and just kneel before God and fall on your faces and repent to God right now, you come. But you come and do whatever the Spirit of God is calling you to do today.